Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name is Rosie Butter.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
Stay tuned.
Here we go, the Johnny McQuaig Band here on the Piffles Podcast, the official song of the Piffles Podcast. Thanks, guys, for giving us that. We are your Saskatchewan Roughriders premier fan podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
And we got a lot to get to, considering there's really no news going on in the CFL. But first, give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
I'm there at Safamud.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Check us out on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check out our Instagram page, PifflesPod, and of course, PifflesPodcast.com, the website. Lots of stuff going up there all the time, talking a lot of free agents on there. So if you want to see who we would take from other teams, go to PifflesPodcast.com. You'll find it all there. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out their great happy hour drink specials, half price Monday to Friday from 2 to 5 p.m., and their Cheeseburger Lovers deal on right now. So if you are in the hankering for a burger, head up Dairy Queen on Elphinstone and Sass Drive in Regina. This week's show. Rider signings. CFL cap. Halifax has someone that wants to join the big leagues with them. Let's get right to it. Time for the opening kickoff. So we'll talk the latest rider news. There actually is some signings to talk about. Nothing earth-shattering by any means. No Willie Jefferson, no Sam Aguavin signings, unfortunately, yet anyway. We'll talk about them in just a minute. But the Riders signing defensive back Reggie Hall, linebacker Deion King, offensive lineman Emmanuel Adese, defensive lineman Matthew Breton, defensive lineman Tresson Mafuta, and wide receiver Mitchell Picton. All guys that were with the team last year, or at least, you know, drafted. And we're around in training camp last year as well, too, so...
I feel like Adese and Dolan are fighting back and forth over who's going to get signed the most this year.
I'm actually surprised they signed Adese again just after he got our quarterback killed in preseason last year.
Hey, you can't go wrong with extra O-lineman in camp.
Canadian O-lineman, he's still young. It's going to be his, third year, I think.
And if you cut every lineman that let a quarterback get killed, Dan Clark wouldn't be here anymore.
You'd have no lineman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just look back at that Darian Durant hit in Winnipeg and Clark looking like deer in the headlights.
Yeah. So all these guys, again, nothing earth shattering. I think the big one here is Mitch Picton, again, a local boy out of Regina. So Riders. Assuming that Rob Bagg is gone, which from the sounds of it, he will be. Riders looking pretty thin at Canadian wide receiver. Hopefully Mitch Picton can make that step and turn into a roster player this year.
I'd love to see him and Jake Hardy fight it out in camp for a spot. I feel like Hardy got the shaft this year, so it'd be good to see him get another shot next year.
Well, injury does that, and so hopefully he comes back fully healed and ready to rock. I think I was really looking forward to seeing Hardy in green and white last year, and hopefully this year he makes it a training camp.
Yeah, more than just the first couple minutes of the first day.
Yeah.
So, that's all we have for signings. Quick and easy on that. I'm assuming we're probably going to hear something before Christmas as well, too. Just that seems to be what the Riders do is the last few days before Christmas, they'll give something out. There's our little Christmas gift to the fans, and here's a big signing. So, maybe we'll hear something. Maybe it's a Zach Evans. Maybe it's a Willie Jefferson. Maybe it's Sam Aguavin. Who knows? So, a lot of big-name guys on the team still available that we would very much like to see back with the team in 2019. Now, speaking of some of those big free agents, Sam Aguavin going to have NFL workouts. So we kind of knew that was going to happen. Personally, I hope he fails, only because hear me out, Steve. I hope he does well. I hope he makes the NFL. I really do. But I'm a greedy person. I want the Riders to be the best possible team, and they'd be better with Sam Aguavin. So in that sense, I hope the workouts, they're just like, you know what? you're good, you're not there yet. And he comes back to Canada.
I hope he turns heads and they think they can get him on the cheap and they insult him and he comes back.
That puts it much more nicer than how I was trying to describe it.
My only concern is with these free agents and these new leagues is the CFL needs to lock down their players. Because apparently everyone is starting a league next year.
Yeah, there's three now. See, Ricky Williams is starting up another league.
I'm not even a little bit concerned about the Freedom Football League.
Come on, T.O.'s in there. Ryder, Neglister, Terrell Owens. Is he still on the Neglist?
No, they. I'm
Did
sure
they actually get rid of him.
Yeah, I think didn't he force the window? No, that was with Edmonton.
Yeah, that was Edmonton. That's why you ended up on ours.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't. He wasn't part of the 10 names they released, so he could still be on there.
We'll get to those 10 names in just a minute here. Willie Jefferson said that he's not going to do any NFL workouts without being offered a contract first.
I love that decision on his part, mostly because it makes it more likely he'll be back.
I was going to say that basically just says that he'll be back here in 2019.
And honestly, I don't blame him. And we were kind of joking that the NFL scouts don't look at game tape anyway. They just look at numbers. But if you're going to bet on yourself, go, I want a contract. I'm not showing doing this for free. Because look at how many guys have gone down there with promises of, hey, we'll give you a shot.
And he's had workouts before. If they really want to look at it, there is NFL tape on Willie Jefferson.
So you got these guys going just to be camp bodies, and they miss most of a season, and it's ridiculous. Like, I don't blame him at all at this point in his career. He knows he can stay in the CFL and make good money.
He has enough tape up here that scouts down there could look at. He has no need to go through the drills that he's done countless times in his career. If they want to see his actual game film, it's there. If not, he seems to like it up here, and he seems to like it here in Saskatchewan, where he's a star. I don't blame him one bit for basically saying, I'm good where I am. You want me, come get me.
So, that's good news for the Riders. More likely that he ends up back here in Saskatchewan in 2019. Now, Greg, you mentioned the neg list, and as part of the CFL's initiative to basically stay in the news cycle all 12 months of the year, and Commissioner Ambrosi mentioned that to us last year, is that's one of the goals of the league, is to always be relevant. For the second time this year, they've released 10 names off each team's neg list. So we can go in and talk about how Christian Hackenberg is on a neg list, one of the other ones from Edmonton.
Tua's on a neg list from Alabama.
Yeah, guys that will never be here. Lamar Jackson, who's a starter in the NFL right now, is on
the neg list. West is on.
Chandrick West. He was actually on the Argos last year.
Yeah. Well, he's on the Argos. They released his name too, and I'm like, okay. Like,
it's just something. I mean, neg lists change all the time. These guys that I'm going to list off here in a second, they could be cut tomorrow.
And no one will ever know. No one ever knows.
Yeah, exactly. But the nice thing about it is, especially in December here, we're coming up on NCAA bowl season, and there's, 70 bowl games, whatever it is now. If you have $5 and you want to sponsor a bowl game and you have a field to play it on, give the NCAA some money, and they'll absolutely put a bowl game there with four and six teams.
No, we already have a Piffles Bowl.
Can we get a Piffles podcast?
We should sponsor a Piffles
Biffle's podcast poll between number 32 and the FCS versus
Division III football. Let's do it.
But there are some players, especially quarterbacks from big schools
that
here
will
on
never
this
come
list
anywhere
that
near
are probably
here.
Never going to be here. But let's go through this list of the Riders' neg list that was released. So the 10 names are, and we'll start with quarterbacks, Ian Book, who is quarterback for Notre Dame. They're actually going to play Clemson in the Cotton Bowl, which is one of the semifinals of the BCS Championship Bowl Series.
I'll share the next name. It's Joe Burrow at LSU, and I only say that one because I look forward to watching him lose to my UCF Knights in the Fiesta Bowl on the 1st. The 2017 national champions, I might
add. Yeah, I was going to say the UCF, the 2 years undefeated, right?
Undefeated.
No love for them.
I'm staying out of this because if I want to get Steve hot, I know how to do it. So
another quarterback, Mason Fine from North Texas. He's going to play Utah State in the New Mexico Bowl. That's actually coming up on December 15th here. So if you got something on the weekend, don't have any plans on, what is that, Saturday this weekend? Take a look at the New Mexico Bowl, Mason Fine there. Trace McSorley, we knew this one before, from Penn State quarterback. He's going to play Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl on January 1st. And Penn State, what, 12th ranked team against a 14th ranked team. So it'll be a good test to see where he is. And I think he's a senior as well, too.
Yeah, this is his last year.
So it'll be good to kind of gauge. This is a guy who might actually be in camp next year. Who knows? A couple other names here as well. Another one that's notable that you might have heard of. Defensive end Nate Orchard out of Utah. He's a former second round pick of the Cleveland Browns. The other guys you probably haven't heard of. Running back Terry Swanson out of Toledo. Linebacker David Talley of Grand Valley State. Running back Leonard Tilley of Southern. Offensive tackle Jalen Ware of Alabama State. And actually, one of the guys that they released was actually on the Riders last year. And defensive back Shawan Lurie of Northern Illinois. So more than likely, he'll be back here in Saskatchewan sometime, at least for training camp.
I thought once you signed a player, you can't add them to your neg list after that. Did we not sign him?
He was signed to the practice roster. I don't know if he's... Right. I don't think he's ever actually on the official roster.
Interesting.
So there's got to be some sort of loophole there. If you sign on the practice roster for X amount of days or something, you're only on for, what, 10 days? Or I'm just throwing numbers out. But if you're only on for a certain amount of time, you can still go back on the neg list.
Kind
of
like the Dakota Shepley thing from...
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair and actually, Dakota Shepley getting a workout with the, I think it's Denver Broncos.
He just had one with the Browns.
Oh, it was with the Browns, yeah. But, yeah, so lots of stuff going on there. So there's the neg list names that we know right now.
Yawn.
Pretty much. But you know what? It gives a little bit more incentive to watch some of these bowl games and just kind of keep an eye out. It's for the real hardcore fans. I'm not going to sit here and watch the New Mexico Bowl.
Why not?
I'm probably going to watch the New Mexico Bowl.
Like, it's football in December. Of course, yeah. You are.
I think, like, when they first did this, it was kind of cool to see, especially names you saw there. Like, when the
Riders. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, like, and everyone knew that one, too. But, like, BJ Daniels was on the Riders list. Like, yeah, as if he's ever going to show up here. Showed up here. It's stuff like that. You're like, oh, yeah, right. And then, yeah, it's kind of gives you something to look forward to. Like, hey, remember this guy's on our list? Like that Luis Perez, I still stand by. I want to see him up here, but he's in the AAF, so he's going to be their starting quarterback. So see how well he does down there.
And one name that stood out to me, and for the life of me, I can't remember which team he was on. I want to say the Argos, but was Shaquem Griffin, out of UCF, the guy that made it out of the NFL playing in Seattle right now, yeah. The first one-handed draft pick in NFL history.
Yeah, he's an Argo.
Yeah, and he actually had a starting linebacker job for the first week of the season this year, so that was kind of interesting. But you see some fun names that would be interesting to follow, but some of them you know are never going to come anywhere near the CFL. But 5 years ago, would we have thought Johnny Manziel would have come near the CFL?
That is true.
So you never know. Some of those big names might find their way up here, and we'll be sitting here going, well, okay, maybe these GMs know more than we do.
Maybe.
Or they're just taking shots in the dark and pray to God.
Well, and that's exactly what the neg list is. You take a shot in the dark, get them on your list, and wish and pray that they find their way to here.
And like I said, it changes literally all the time. So, guy doesn't plays a season and doesn't really look that good, you drop him. Put some other guy on there.
Or you think they're never coming up, you drop them. It's that simple.
And those neg lists are going to be substantially more important with the two... I'm not saying three. The two new leagues forming in the U.S. There's a bigger onus on Canadian GMs to make sure they pick proper players because that pool of players is going to diminish.
And as we're going to talk about in just a few seconds here, the scouting is probably going to go down in the CFL because of the CFL coaches cap and football operations cap. So we'll talk about that actually in just a couple seconds here. The opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Feschen of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check her Facebook page out, Kathy Feschen, Royal LePage. Now, the CFL coach's salary cap has affected just about every team as of right now anyway, but some of the big things that have happened from it, we know that Chris Jones is getting a ton of money. We know that the Riders have 70 people on staff. Like, it's an ungodly amount of people. But the one thing that Chris Jones said is that everybody's going to take a 10% pay cut, and that includes me. John Murphy said, nope. Riders... And John Murphy decided to mutually part ways, we'll say. So John Murphy didn't want to take a pay cut. Riders kicked him out, basically.
The irony in that is just amazing.
You got a guy who negotiates contracts with players, telling all of them, take a pay cut, stay with us so we can build the team, make it better. Didn't take a pay cut. says that contracts should be guaranteed. Well,
yep,
kind of like CFL player contracts, right?
I just love that he was in the final year of his contract and thought that it should be the Riders should stay to what they negotiated with initially. And all I could think is, man, John Chick and Weston Dressler right now are like throwing their phones and like flipping tables because he was the guy. Basically, you want to stay here? You're taking that pay cut. And they said, okay, we're gone.
And what's funny to me is you're starting to see players come out. I know Derek Dennis is one of them, basically saying, you guys are all sitting here sad that some of your GMs and coaches and all of that are leaving. And he's right. We're looking at this from a fan standpoint. It became normal with players. Players get cut all the time, but suddenly it's coaches and everybody's shocked. This guy's gone and that guy's gone. It was an interesting take, and you could tell his answer was basically, what about us? And he's not wrong.
You know what I found really interesting was that a lot of Rider fans are saying this is aimed at the Riders because we finally have success. We have the money with the team. We can finally put that to resources, and now we're going to have to get rid of scouts and extra trainers or whatever it is. Craig Reynolds was one of the big proponents of having this cap in place. He's an accountant. He's a numbers guy. He's in charge of finances for the entire team. Does he really want this team that finally has money to blow it all every single year and really not have anything in the bank? No. So it makes sense that Craig Reynolds would want to kind of rein this in a little bit. But I found that was really interesting that we finally have the success and he's looking long-term here and be like, you know what? What if the TV deal negotiated in the CBA isn't as good as we hope it is? What if we don't sell as many tickets? What if this? What if that? What if revenue is not as good? We at least still have this rainy day fund because of the salary cap for coaches. So it's a really interesting kind of paradox.
But it doesn't surprise. I think they took it a step too far. The health coverage, I don't know why it's in there. But certain things I understand. You want every team to be on a level playing field. I think, though, anytime you do a cap, so to speak, you should also have a floor. Because I guarantee you, while the Riders are going to be pushing the cap the entire time,
there's going to be teams struggling to get to that floor.
Yeah, there's going to be teams that are going to be scouts. Who needs scouts? We'll just get players to send us tapes. I was thinking this
might actually be Edmonton now.
I was going to say this is more Toronto under Brayley. They didn't have any scouting, so to speak. And I don't know what BC scouting looks like right now, considering Brayley still owns the team.
But it's not just a thing that's hitting the Riders here. Montreal fired Billy Parker, Jason Tucker, two others off their coaching staff. Edmonton fired their head of Canadian scouting.
That's dumb. I'm sorry, that is the dumbest thing ever. Canadians, you need good Canadian scouting in this league. Because a good roster of Canadians will win you a championship.
That's a guy who's been with that team for 20 years. You can't make room for a 20-year guy on a new salary cap that's ahead of your Canadian scouting department.
Maybe he didn't want to take a pay cut either. So you got to make a choice, right?
I guess so. It just seems like an odd...
Len Rhodes probably just want to throw that money up. I don't know, Snoop Dogg's
doing
Snoop
Dogg. Snoop
Dogg's doing a concert in Saskatoon.
And they got to pay for more Gatorade jugs after Moss smashes them all. And
headsets, don't forget the headsets.
Yeah. And the headsets.
I wonder if replacement headsets are covered under the coach's salary cap.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like the idea, but it's severely flawed.
It was, in my mind, it was too heavy-handed. It was something they needed to roll out. Especially because you do have people on contracts for multiple years. It should have been rolled out. And they say they're rolling it out because they aren't going to take away they aren't going to take away draft picks this year. Everyone's going to be reporting themselves where they're at. And if they're over, you get the fine, the one for one, but no draft picks are going to be taken away. And then next year is when it's going to hit hard. Well, I think they should have rolled it out over time.
Yeah, this was absolutely too much, too quick. And the emphasis for me was on too much. The amount of things that they put into this cap and the limit to the number of spots, I think, was the mistake. Saying you can only have 25 people is the mistake. I think teams should be able to spend the money however they want, in whatever fashion they want, as long as they're under said cap. That, to me, would have been smarter. And the cap's too low. But the teams have to live with it.
I don't know. I just find it funny. There's exemptions that people are, and because everyone's going to suspect the Riders. Meals under work time are not covered, are not part of this. Mileage, all that stuff while under working. People will find ways around this. They will find ways to juice the numbers.
Well, for something, if you're not going to include meals, the Riders have a kitchen in their stadium. Yeah. Like, I mean, they have a full staff of chefs and everything.
That's players just, in every day.
That's just regular mm-hmm. operations here at the stadium.
Yeah.
And it's not the Riders because they don't own the stadium. Mm-hmm. They're City of Regina employees, basically.
Yep.
So they can get around the loophole that way.
Yep.
Well, and look at with the exception of Winnipeg, every other team is, you know, privately owned. You've got absolutely no control over what they actually report versus what is.
Edmonton's publicly owned too.
Did I have that backwards? Because Winnipeg's not anymore, aren't they?
No, Winnipeg still is.
Is it Winnipeg too?
Yeah. Us, Winnipeg, and Edmonton.
So outside of us, Winnipeg, and Edmonton, you've got six teams that are privately owned. With the league really has no control over the books and what's actually getting reported. I just think this is... I've been a proponent or a fan of the things that Ambrosi has done thus far. Not this one. I don't like this one.
I like the idea in theory. It just was not rolled out well. It was not explained well. And it's too heavy-handed right off the hop. Like, it should have been something that it was done in stages.
And you're adding this with the offseason without a CBA in place right now. This is a really, really career-defining offseason for Randy Ambrosi. This is really going to define, is he a good commissioner? Is he not a good commissioner? So it's really interesting to see how this is all going to play out. Now, speaking of coaches, more coaching changes in the CFL. Devon Claybrooks, BC's new head coach. Corey Chamberlain, we all remember him, or as a lot of Rider fans like to call him, Corey Chamberlain. Guy won us a Grey Cup. How you can't get his name right? I mean, come on.
Well, that's why they named that town after him.
And Orlando, he's the new boss in Toronto. And Orlando Steinhauer in Hamilton. Good moves.
Actually, yeah. To go back to the coaches cap for a second, I think that's why I almost called him Chamberlain. That's why Chamberlain got hired in Toronto. Familiarity and the fact that they would probably had a clean house.
He's going to be their defensive coordinator as well.
Too. Exactly. So, two paychecks. So the fact they didn't have to clean house with a new, and that's the thing is when you bring in a new coach, he normally wants his guys.
Of course.
So this is going to change the entire dynamic of coaching in the CFL. Much, much more than the you can't hire anyone else from another team without permission anymore.
Didn't somebody pull out of the Toronto job because they were basically told they wouldn't have...
Lapo.
Paul Lapolis. Yeah.
Because Lapo he wouldn't have control over his staff.
Yeah.
What an awful way to set things up.
Well, that doesn't... Also part of it being, though, that's Jim Popp, and Jim Popp likes having his fingers in everything. That doesn't surprise me.
He's giving one finger to the fans, but that's besides the point. I think the Claybrooks, I think all three of those hirings were smart for different reasons. You mentioned familiarity with Toronto. Steinhauer, Hamilton had no choice. They either promoted him to head coach or he was gone.
And they demoted or moved June Jones to associate head coach and gave him some other title, I think.
Offensive coordinator.
Is he?
He's the OC.
OC. So, I mean.
And honestly, though, I think this was the plan all along. June Jones was not going to be the plan for a long time.
No, no.
They brought him... Austin brought him in. Austin lost favor. They had to promote someone within. June Jones was the next obvious guy. They went and brought Steinhauer back after Austin was gone because him and Austin never got along. And the fact that the Ticats played so well under June Jones once Austin was gone, you kind of had to keep him on. And so they kept him on for another year, and they decided to flip the switch to Steinhauer, which was a smart move. They never should have let him go.
And Devon Claybrook's going to BC, defensive-minded coach, going to a team with an already decent defense. A lot of pieces there that are good. Good move there.
They should keep all their defensive free agents this way, actually.
And actually, it was a really cool note that out of the 5 of the 9 head coaches in the CFL right now, have been under John Huffnagle and the Stamps organization at some point.
Yeah, everyone wants to talk about the NFL coaching tree coming out of New England. The Calgary one in the CFL is pretty strong.
Yeah. Tavon Claybrooks, Chris Jones, Rick Campbell, Dave Dickinson, and Corey Chamberlain. All former coaches under John Hofnagel. So it's actually really incredible. God, just another thing that Calgary just keeps rolling off without players, coaches. God.
Can they finally drop down a peg right? this year? Please. Like, come on. You won your cup. Now get out of here. Let somebody else have the top.
Bring back Federic. Those were the days. Yes. And I guarantee you there's 8 CFL franchises that are begging for that day to come again.
Oh, the K Fed era.
And not Britney's ex, right? Mm-hmm. Not that K Fed?
Nope.
No. Oh, okay. Well,
probably just as good at football.
They're probably both equal at singing too.
Speaking of Calgary and taking a step down, I told you yesterday I had a would you rather,
and this that's right.
This kind
you
of
even told us what it is.
Yet. I know, so I wanted to spring
Method
this on
to the madness.
Yes. So Bo Levi Mitchell, free agent, getting a lot of NFL looks.
Yep.
Including
Denver Broncos.
Including
too.
Your Denver Broncos. So, would you rather? Peyton Manning in his final year, even though he won a great Super Bowl, even though they didn't win it because of him.
Yeah, he was terrible that year.
Or Bo Levi Mitchell, right now.
Right now, Bo Levi Mitchell.
Even if you had to give up the Super Bowl.
Oh, I'd have to give back that Super Bowl 50?
Yeah.
He still does Bo Levi Mitchell still have the defense from Super Bowl 50? Because if so, give me Bo Levi Mitchell all day.
You could have won a Super Bowl on that team.
Yeah, as long as I didn't turn it over. And Peyton Manning actually threw a couple of picks in that Super Bowl, too. I would... Bo Levi Mitchell, I would say, is better than Case Keenum.
Yeah.
So I would take Bo Levi Mitchell.
We've seen you in the Stamps jersey. We know your feelings on Bo Levi Mitchell.
It's a Broncos jersey, okay?
Just poor color lighting?
Someone filtered.
On a cold day, too, apparently. On a cold day.
It was cold that day.
We know.
It's hard to miss.
But yeah, that was my would you rather, because I was like, yeah. Is Peyton Manning one of the Broncos' all-time best quarterbacks?
Yeah, he's probably number two.
That's awful.
But yeah, that's what my point is. His best years were not even in Denver.
Well, no. His best year was in Denver. He shattered literally every single record.
Yeah, I suppose.
And it was because, what's his name, defensive back safety, doesn't know how to cover against a Hail Mary, and you let guys behind you on a Hail Mary. That's the only reason why they didn't win the Super Bowl that year. He got to two Super Bowls, should have got to a third one in his 4 years. Thanks to the defense involved.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But, no, Bo Levi Mitchell, I think there's a couple good fits in the NFL. I know he worked out for Minnesota, I think, as well, too. And with the way that
they try everybody.
But Kirk Cousins is there for a while because
that contract.
He's guaranteed a lot of money. And they're not going to Troy Tulowitzki him and send him packing and still owe him $84 million or whatever they still owe him.
I think Bo Levi Mitchell is as good as gone. I really do.
Hope so. And there's no reason why he won't be a number two somewhere to start. If I were him, I would be looking at teams like a Denver, like a...
Even the mini.
Minnesota might have a question mark at quarterback.
Because they're not going to cut Cousins, but they're not going to let him go. So you have a shot to play if he doesn't play well.
He'd be smart to look at a team where they're starting quarterback... Where there's questions around it.
Like in Oakland.
The whole Oakland Raiders have questions around
it. He could play any position in Oakland. There's question marks everywhere.
But I do think he's going to end up signing in the NFL.
And yes! What about Singleton?
Yeah, right. Singleton, I mean, how he didn't make the NFL in his first shot with Seattle anyway. I mean, undrafted free agent signing, I guess. You don't really get a lot of reps, but the dude can play. We've seen that the last couple of years in the CFL. He's one of the top two defensive players in the CFL.
So you got to think, if Calgary loses him and loses their one of their defensive leaders,
God, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
And their offensive leader, and I like Buckley, but he ain't the next guy there.
And Chris Matthews is going back to the NFL from the looks of it.
Yeah.
Vince Buckley retired, didn't he? Arbuckle.
Arbuckle. Sorry, Arbuckle. Yeah, sorry. John Arbuckle. I forgot, yeah.
Buckley's the guy that cost him the Grey Cup. Yeah,
yeah, that is right. Yeah, sorry.
Garfield's buddy.
Yeah, Garfield's owner, yeah. But Arbuckle, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not complaining one bit about Calgary losing their two best players. So let's all hope that happens. I wish them continued success in the NFL.
I can say this right now. I know better than to predict they will be bad next year. I'm already telling you right now, Calgary Stampeders will be number one in the West because
18-0.
Right now, I'm not that dumb.
One of these years, we're going to get it right, and they're going to fall from first place and finish in like third or something like that. One of these years, we'll get it right, and it'll be a glorious year. Tom Cochran making news. He joins the bid to get the Atlantic Schooners in the league.
I'd love it. More, please.
What? Like, this is just so random.
We know who's going to be, like, Plano Canada open in the new stadium if they ever get one built.
Couldn't be worse than a dude singing "Old Christmas Tree."
That is true.
Still the greatest rendition of "O Canada" of all time.
Rider game in Vegas. But anyway.
So was Geddy Lee busy, or?
I guess. Trooper must have had one of their backyard bashes.
April Wine. Too occupied.
Cabaret, yeah.
Harlequin couldn't make it.
So I guess Tom Cochran's next in line.
We know who the halftime show for Grey Cup next year
forget,
is now.
Forget the Schooners. They should be named the Red Riders.
Oh, Jesus.
Get out.
Come on, Tom Cochran with the Red Riders, right? The Atlantic Red Riders? Could you imagine Rider fans?
Could you imagine Ottawa fans?
Maybe even more jokes.
Yeah, they'd be even more pissed. What?
Especially if we allowed it.
Yeah. You know what? Tom Cochran's cool. You can be the Black and Red Riders. See what happens. Giant R in their helmet.
Black and Red. That'd be great. Oh, jokes at Ottawa's expense. Screw them. All right. One other thing I want to get to really quick, and we posted this on Twitter and Facebook, is our Piffles is our Piffles player pick'em, and we've seen these around, build a roster from, it's usually NBA, with you have a budget of $15, and here's options $5, $4, $3, $2, $1, and create your best starting five. Well, we decided to have a little bit of fun with this. And so we started this week on offense. We're going to do one for defense next week as well.
Don't worry, Zach Evans. We got you.
Zach, you'll be in there. And don't worry, you're going to be one of the $5 options because you're just such a great dude.
One of the $1 to $5 options?
I think you need to make him a value pick so everyone takes him. You want to be popular, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. And make sure you add him on all of them.
Can't eat pierogies, but can shotgun a beer with
the best. Oh my god.
Did we talk about that yet?
I don't think we did.
That was amazing.
But by that alone, he's a $5 pick. Like, right? he's on every beer chugging contest.
Could you imagine the John Gott celebration, but with shotgunning beer and Zach Evans?
He would need more beer.
Just cracks four of them.
He probably has some sort of luge going.
Yeah.
Four of them draining down to each other.
You wouldn't even get through the 20-second time clock.
So, anyway... what we're doing on offense, we need one quarterback, one running back, two receivers, and an offensive lineman. Gotta have two Canadians out of your five. So we have options. Quarterbacks, for example, and I'll go down in order, $5 to $1 here. Mike Riley, Bo Levi Mitchell, Travis Lule, Zach Caleros, Johnny Manziel. So you just build the best possible team you can with the $15 budget that you have. So find this on Twitter, at PifflesPod. Find it on Facebook. Facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Tell us who you'd pick, your five players, two of which must be Canadians, and you're entered to win a prize pack. And we got a football sign, a Dairy Queen football signed by members of the 2018 Riders. We have a Rider pencil case, a rally towel from the inaugural game, from the inaugural season at Mosaic Stadium, a CFL toque, and a CFL bag. So, little goodie bag there, and we'll do a random draw here in the next couple days. But, so for example, my team, I picked quarterback Bo Levi Mitchell for $4, running back Tyrell Sutton for $2, Brad Sinopoli, one of the Canadians, receiver for $4, Brian Burnham, receiver, for 3, and offensive lineman Brandon Revenberg, my other Canadian, for 2. So that takes me exactly to the $15 max. So let us know what you guys have.
And know, people, you cannot go over the salary cap and pay a fine.
No.
Because you're going to start losing draft picks at $1. I did the math on this. You would have, if you want to go over without losing a draft pick, you could spend $15.28. Good luck with that.
Did you guys want to share what you guys had as well?
I had Travis Lule. You can't go wrong with the Soulless Ginger at $3. I went with Andrew Harris, by far the best running back in the league and a Canadian. I went with I argue, two of the best hands in the league and at value picks with Brian Burnham and Daron Carter. And then I went with Brandon Revenberg as my other Canadian, a good young offensive lineman.
I went with Bo Levi Mitchell at $4, Terrell Sutton at $2, Brad Sinopoli, just like Andrew Harris, one of the best receivers in the league and Canadian. Can't go wrong there for $4. Had to throw it out to Rider Nation and get Weston Dressler in there for the $1 value pick. And Brendan Labatt. So I got two Canadians there as well.
Well, there we go. So
I saw people pushing like four Canadians on their list.
Yeah, you go with Andrew Harris, or if you go with Brad Sinopoli, Nick Dembski, John Gott, you got a lot of money there to spend around. So, and you can get Justin Fuley Guidino there
for $1.
It's like a McDonald's. It's like a Dairy Queen value pick.
Yeah. So basically, play GM for us. See, GM, this is easy.
Now imagine doing this for 46 people.
And keeping them happy.
Right?
So send us who you think. Find the post on Twitter or on Facebook. Comment and share it away. And let's have a little bit of fun. A little off-season discussion is what it is. Just to try and have a little bit of fun when there's no news going on. So tell us who you have and be entered in for Rider CFL prize pack. Get it in time for Christmas. Hopefully. Screw you, Canada Post. A lot of screw yous going on today.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
Filthy animal. This can also be like a Festivus. We can do
let's get
the poll out and start airing grievances.
I have a lot of things I want to say about you guys.
Well, I'm out.
But do that, and let's have a little bit of fun this offseason. But that is going to do it for us here in 2018.
Wow.
Our last show of the year, our third full season done now. We'll still be around in the offseason, 2019.
Has it really been 3 years?
For me, it just flew back like it was one.
Settle down there, longest current active streak.
Yeah, actually, my streak is still going. Iron Man.
Jeez, I should just do a show by myself one day just so I can get that streak back.
Episode 106 comes out tomorrow. Just Alex.
Hopefully somebody signs, otherwise I don't know what's going to happen.
All it is screw you, Greg. Bye. Click.
That's a great episode.
Best ever. Probably most downloads.
Write that down here. Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us. I know 2018 for the Riders didn't end the way that we wanted to, but we had a lot of fun this year, a lot of great stuff happening. Piffles Bowl, our Rush Bus at the beginning of the year. Our Banjo Bowl Bus was a huge success. Sold that out in no time. We're going to be doing that again next year. And just a whole bunch of other great stuff going on this year. Whole bunch of other great stuff that just happened this year. And we're looking forward to building that again next year. So thank you guys for listening to us and probably yelling at us a whole bunch because we suck.
If you want to yell at us, please do. Yell at us.
If you see us at games, just come just scream right in our faces. Just give please her. Do.
It's nice to be recognized. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's been a blast doing this. And thank you guys, the listeners, for having fun with us and engaging with us and giving us a reason to talk more football, which is what we love to do. So we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, any kind of the holidays that you're celebrating at this time of year. Just make sure it's great. Spend time with the family and just have a great time, because really that's what it's all about, right?
Be safe. Be smart.
Going out to parties, make sure you have a safe ride home. Saskatchewan, we're so close to having Uber and Lyft here now. The regulations are set in place. Hopefully we'll get those right away. But call a friend. They'd rather, as much as they'd be annoyed at 3 a.m. from a phone call to come pick them up, they'd rather do that than the other 3 a.m. phone call that they would get. So plan a safe ride home. Have fun this holiday season. And we'll talk more in the off season. Until then, Follow us on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can find me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. And we're on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. Piffles Podcast brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. And special thanks go out as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Cypress Hills Destination Area for their support to make this show possible. As we say goodbye for 2018, we leave you with Beauty Killed the Beast. This is their song Hometown, one of our featured artists of 2018. It's burning like a flame. You could tear it all down.